Hey, we are approaching Easter, and it's my favorite Christian celebration, because in it we can openly proclaim Christ has risen. Jesus is alive. And for that fact alone, our blessed faith is not in vain. Our faith is not empty. And with Easter Sunday less than a month away, this evening I would like us to consider one of the characters in the Easter narrative. He is one of the main characters, but he is also a character we don't like to dwell on for very long. And when I mention his name, you will know why. The person I speak of is Judas. Judas Iscariot. In general, people don't like talking about Judas. And it's understandable. His name has become a definition of treachery. The name Judas is synonymous with betrayal. To be called a Judas is one of the most offensive things to hear or to have someone call you. In this church, we have an Andrew, we have a Peter. But how many people do you know who are called Judas? When a mother gives birth to a child and she lovingly looks at her baby's beautiful face, how often will a mother smile, look at her son and say, "Hello, Judas"? Well, around 2,000 years ago, there was a mother who gave birth to a baby boy, and she loved him, and she called his name Judas. But one night, this little boy, all grown up now, arrived in the Garden of Gethsemane with a host of guards around him. He stepped forward, kissed Jesus, and said, "Greetings, Master." So cold, no emotion. With a kiss of betrayal, he says, "Greetings, Master." A signal for the guards to arrest the only completely innocent man to have ever walked the earth. That night, the name Judas was tarnished, permanently shunned. Judas, a name of treachery, deceit, and betrayal. So this evening, let us ask the question, why Judas? Why did Jesus choose Judas? Jesus chose Judas to be his disciple, his close friend. After Peter, James, and John, Judas was right there in Jesus' inner circle. Did Jesus make a mistake in choosing Judas? Well, as we consider the question of why Judas, let us also consider three points, and they are: the first one will be religious hypocrisy and the need of salvation. The second one is human responsibility and the sovereignty of God. And the third point, personal responsibility and the tragedy of sin. So why did Jesus choose Judas? Was it a mistake? Was the Lord Jesus surprised to receive that kiss from the lips of Judas in that most difficult hour in the Garden of Gethsemane? We can read in verse 70 of John 6, where Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" So Jesus knew all along it was not a mistake. He was not surprised at what Judas did. According to scholars, John chapter 6 happened just over a year before Judas's betrayal in the garden. So Jesus wasn't surprised before he chose Judas to be one of the 12 disciples. He knew what Judas would do. So we ask the question again, why did Jesus choose Judas? Let us consider our first point, religious hypocrisy and the need of salvation. Being religious is not evidence of salvation. I believe one of the reasons Jesus chose Judas was to warn us today against religious hypocrisy. You see, if we consider Judas as a person before that Paschal week, before that Easter week, we would see that he was a great guy. He was dependable, talented, a hard-working man. Meet Judas, he had all the right stuff. He had the right friends. He rubbed shoulders with the 11 disciples who would become apostles. Yes, they were a collection of oddballs, but he had connections with the right people. He was trusted. He wasn't just one of the 12 disciples, he was the treasurer. He had charge of the money. Jesus and the disciples trusted him with the little money they had. Who is usually chosen to be the treasurer of a church or put in charge of the finances of a company? It's usually the most trusted person, a person of integrity, and Judas was that man of integrity, the treasurer. Judas had the right teaching. He belonged to the best theological school. Jesus was his teacher. He spent 3 years listening to and walking with Jesus, the Son of God. Judas was an evangelist, spreading the gospel with the other disciples as they were sent out two by two. Not only did he preach repentance, he also cast out demons and anointed the sick with oil, and they were healed. You can look at Mark chapter 6. He tells us about what the disciples did. So if we think of Judas before the Paschal week, he had a brilliant CV. In fact, it seems that he has outperformed all of us already. Wouldn't you hire him? Judas had the right reputation. When Jesus told the disciples that one of them would betray him, no one pointed their fingers and said, "It must be Judas." If you turn with me to John chapter 13, John chapter 13, verse 21 and 22. So when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. They were perplexed. No one said it must be Judas. No one thought it could be Judas. Not the treasurer. We trust him. If we read further on in verse 28 and 29, it says, "But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him." So Jesus speaking to Judas. "For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, 'Buy those things we need for the feast,' or that he should give money, something, to the poor." No one suspected Judas of doing any wrong. Even after Jesus clearly declared who would betray him, the disciples still wouldn't suspect Judas of betrayal. You see, Judas on the surface was the best of Christians, a devout follower, religious, a preacher, an evangelist. Even the disciples would recommend him. But the Lord knows the heart. The Lord knows our heart. The disciples wouldn't see his heart. No one would know the truth of his heart. The Lord knows our heart. What does it say in Matthew 7, verse 21 and 23? I'll read it to you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus knew the heart of Judas. Jesus knew he was a liar, a thief, and a lover of money. And yet, Jesus still chose him to be one of the 12. So why did Jesus choose Judas? Well, being religious is not evidence of salvation. As I said earlier, I believe Jesus chose Judas to warn us against being religious hypocrites. Judas had all the right stuff, an impeccable CV. But he was not saved. He did not believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Look at verse 64 of John chapter 6 again. But Jesus said, but there are some of you who do not believe. And if you read on, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. Judas may have been a disciple of Jesus. He may have agreed with everything Jesus taught in his mind. But his heart, he didn't trust in Jesus. He didn't believe. Here is a challenge for us. This is not a challenge to cause us to look around suspiciously, but it is a challenge for self-examination. Are you a religious hypocrite? Am I a religious hypocrite? Outwardly, you seem to be a great Christian, but your heart does not belong to the Lord. You can ask some people, some churchgoers, are you saved? They say, I go to church. And you ask again, but are you saved? And they say, I'm a serving member in the church involved in all the children's outreach. But are you saved? I'm a deacon, an appointed treasurer of the church. And we ask again, but are you saved? You can so often hear many answers to show ourselves that we are good Christians. But the main question that matters is, are we saved? Do we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. God knows who you are. Unless you are saved by the blood of Jesus, coming to church and saying your prayers is not evidence of salvation. Do you know the treasures of your heart. Satan loves to see people who sit in church every Sunday and are involved in church activities being condemned to hell. Satan is not too bothered by those out there. They already serve him. Satan wants to destroy the reputation of the church and the name of Christ. The church is where Satan attacks the most. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says, many have a form of godliness, but are denying its power. Religious hypocrisy. It was a religious crowd that wanted Jesus destroyed. It was a religious multitude who shouted, crucify him. There are religious people persecuting saved Christians every day, all over the world. And some of the persecutors are even Christians by name. We are to put religion away. What we need in our lives is Jesus and Jesus alone. In the previous verses to our reading, Jesus preached, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. He who eats this bread will live forever. Who believes in him? The one who trusts in Jesus. The one who looks to him and depends only on him and in him alone. Religion won't save you, good works won't save you, but Jesus will. He's the bread that feeds our soul. He's the bread that gives us true life. And praise God that the gospel is preached here. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we listening to it? Christians also need to listen to the gospel. The gospel is not just something for the unbelievers. We need to be reminded of the gospel time and time again, which is why we are commanded to celebrate communion. It's to remind us of the gospel. Judas had a wonderful environment, listening at the feet of Jesus. But Judas fell. So it's not about the environment we belong to. Oh, I go to this church, I go to that church. You know about that church, you know how good that church is. It's not about the environment that says whether we belong to Christ. Judas was at the feet of Jesus and he still fell. Adam and Eve were in the most beautiful and perfect environment, but they fell in the garden. So it's not about what church you belong to, what group of Christians you agree with. It's about salvation. It's about being saved. It's about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here with the character of Judas, we can see religious hypocrisy and the need for salvation. Let us now turn to our second point, human responsibility and the sovereignty of God. See, God knows our choices before we make them. But we still have a choice to make. We need to choose Jesus. Verse 64, it says that Jesus knew. He knew who he chose. He knew who believed. In John 13, verse 18 and 19, it explains further. It says, I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. So that the scripture may be fulfilled, we see here the sovereignty of God working. It's the sovereignty of God in our lives. In John 6, verse 65, it says, and he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. So yes, there is God's sovereignty in whether we come to Christ or not. However, there is still a human responsibility. Now, in God's sovereignty, Jesus chose Judas. In God's sovereignty, the scriptures had to be fulfilled. 1,000 years beforehand, the scriptures said that this would happen. That a man would betray the Messiah, and Jesus knew it would be Judas. Judas's action is preaching to us. How is Judas preaching here? It is preaching to us about who Jesus is. What did Jesus say again in verse 19 of John 13? Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am He. What is a way we can know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior? Judas's actions reveals Christ to us. How else do we know Jesus is the Christ? His close friend betrayed him. So that the scriptures would be fulfilled. God's sovereignty here, showing us through the actions of Judas who Christ is. So Judas shared the bread with Jesus, but then turned against Jesus, just as Psalm 41, verse 9 prophesied. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. In Psalm 41, it was prophesied that this would happen. Now that's God's sovereignty, but what is the human responsibility? Did Judas have a choice? Was he forced to do this? Was this his destiny and he couldn't do anything else? No, I think Judas had a choice. Yes, so although Jesus knew what Judas would do beforehand, we cannot say he did not have a choice. Of course he did. Judas had a choice. He wasn't forced to betray Jesus. Did you know that if Judas turned to Christ in repentance, he would have been saved? Earlier in this chapter, in verse 37, Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. So if Judas had repented and come to Christ, he would have been saved. But Judas would not turn to Christ. He would not believe in him. Jesus was not the Messiah he expected and wanted. Judas made up his mind about Jesus. I imagine Judas's thought process to be, where is the powerful warrior who would overthrow the Romans and sit on the throne in Jerusalem? This Jesus is doing nothing for me. I thought he would make me rich. And I would dine with him in the palace. I thought I would be famous and be known as the Messiah's closest advisor. But with Jesus I have lost much. 30 pieces of silver will be far more than what I have now. Jesus can't be my Messiah. So Judas made up his mind about Jesus. Jesus did not fit into the mold of what a Messiah should be like in Judas's mind. Judas chose his own way. He gave in to the sin in his heart. He gave in to Satan's enticement. Judas made a choice. Yes, God is sovereign. He knows who here this evening will go to heaven and he knows who will go to hell. But we all have a choice, a responsibility. C.S. Lewis put it this way. There are two kinds of people. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done." And those to whom God says, "All right then, have it your way." Judas made a choice and God would say to him, "All right then, have it your way." And by Judas choosing his own way, Satan took a hold of him. And that led Judas to betray the Lord Jesus. What is our choice? What is our responsibility? It is to call upon the name of the Lord. It is to fall at his feet and to submit to his lordship. It is calling out in repentance and saying, "Lord, forgive me, for I am a sinner." We have a choice. We have a responsibility. Of course, as sinners by nature, we cannot turn to the Lord by our own means. We need Him. We need the Lord to change our hearts and transform us so that we would respond to His call. Yes, the Lord chooses who will be His, but we have to obey. Obedience to His call is our responsibility. Judas chose 30 pieces of silver instead of holding on to Christ. What are the choices you are making? What in your life takes precedence over Jesus Christ? Is it money? Is it family? Is it career? Is it yourselves? Is it your hobbies? Is it your comfort? God has always known the choices we would make, but let us choose to obey Him and only Him. Let us fall at His feet. That is our responsibility. Christians are not robots controlled by God. We have a responsibility to come to Him. Jesus said, "Come and follow me." Jesus said, "Deny yourselves, take up the cross, and follow me." We have a responsibility to obey Him. We have a responsibility to serve Him. So we come to our last point, personal responsibility and the tragedy of sin. Sin is ugly. It is fatal. It is a tragedy. So in that we can only turn to the Lord in repentance. That is our personal responsibility, to turn to the Lord in repentance. Do you know the tragedy of sin? In Matthew 27, it tells us that when Judas saw that Jesus was condemned, Judas was filled with remorse. He tried returning the money he received for betraying Jesus. He said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." But the devil who enticed him is the devil who is condemning him now. He's also accusing him. Judas was filled with this guilt and this remorse. What have I done? He's realizing the choices he had made. But Satan now ruled him. Satan had a hold of him. And Satan, in league with sin, promises much. Deny Christ and you can have the whole world. Judas was happy with just 30 pieces of silver. And Judas, burdened by his guilt and remorse, the Bible tells us he threw the money into the temple and left. What did he do? Did he go and look for Christ? to us forgiveness? No, the Bible tells us he left full of remorse and hanged himself. The tragedy of sin. That's what sin does. Judas, he was filled with guilt and remorse. But guilt and remorse is not the same as repentance. If only he repented. But he had given himself to Satan. Satan was now in him. Sin promised Judas much, but paid little. The pain of sin blinded Judas even more. He would no longer see Christ. He couldn't see Christ anymore. Sin destroys. Sin is ugly. In Acts chapter 1, verse 18, it tells us that after Judas hung himself, it tells us that his body fell headlong to the ground and burst open. All his insides were gushed out. This is the picture of sin and the wages of sin. Falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his entrails gushed out. The Bible has a lot of descriptive language. But this one here shows the ugliness of what sin causes. There is nothing pretty about sin. That's why the Word of God does not hold back in challenging us and going straight for the heart. At first, sin may look beautiful. Sin looked beautiful to Judas. He would be 30 pieces of silver richer. But soon after, what did sin do to him? Sin destroyed him. Judas thought he could end his suffering by hanging himself. But we know that death wasn't his end. Hanging himself did not end his suffering. In Acts chapter 1, verse 25, it says about Judas, "By transgression he fell, so that he could go to where he belongs." Or in the New King James says that he might go to his own place. Where did Judas belong? Where is Judas now? He's in hell. He's suffering for eternity. When we die on earth, it is not the end. We will all go to where we belong. Now the question we can ask ourselves is, where do I belong? Where do you belong? Where is your place? Those who say, "God, your will be done in the name of Jesus." Jesus is now preparing a place for you. But those who say, "My way," not God's way, your place has already been prepared in hell. If you have not entrusted your life unto Jesus, you are in the same category as Judas. There are only two categories. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and those who do not. You may say, "No way, I'm no Judas." But the question is, do you belong to Jesus? Are you saved? Do you believe in him? God doesn't want any of us to perish in sin. God doesn't want to say to any of us that we belong in hell. But we have a choice. We have a responsibility, a personal responsibility to come to the Lord in repentance again and again and again. Because our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. If you choose Jesus to obey him, to trust him in his sacrifice, in his suffering in your place, heaven is where you belong. There is security if you are saved and Jesus is the treasure of your heart. Judas was never saved. He had the appearance of one who was saved. He did all the right things. He said all the right things. But Jesus knew he did not believe. Jesus knew his heart. Now, what was the difference between Peter and Judas? We know that in the same night that Judas betrayed Jesus, Peter denied Jesus three times. But Peter went to heaven. Why? Because he repented. He looked to Christ. Judas betrayed Jesus, but went to hell. He did not repent. He could not look to Christ. The main difference is that Peter believed. He said in verse 68 of John chapter 6, "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" If you are religious, do not rest on your religion. You need Jesus. We have a choice before us: obedience to Christ or the rewards of this world that are fleeting. Sin is fatal. It is tragic. We need to come to Jesus at the foot of the cross. Put your faith where God has put your sins, right on Jesus. So now, as we approach Easter, let us give careful thought about the state of our hearts. In appearance and works, Judas outdid all of us. But do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your being? Let us all declare with our lives what Peter professed. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen.